Whether you are new to the living healthy lifestyle or a healthy living veteran, this is the place for the honest answers to your questions. Naturally Savvy with registered holistic nutritionist Andrea Donsky and health journalist Lisa Davis on RadioMD.com.
I'm Lisa Davis. You're listening to Naturally Savvy. Andrea is off today. I'm really glad to be joined by Mark Mancola, PhD. He's the author of Whole Health, A Holistic Approach to Healing for the 21st Century. He's a natural healthcare practitioner who has transformed the lives of thousands of people over the past 30 years. Dr. Mancola, welcome to Naturally Savvy.
Wonderful to be on. Thanks for having me.
It's so nice to have you on. I want to let everyone know that I know Dr. Mancola. He is absolutely brilliant. I used to do book reviews on his health radio show in the Boston area. And I was always amazed that no matter what caller called, you had an answer for everything. And it was so in-depth. It was like you had an encyclopedia. Now I'm dating myself here. The encyclopedia of everything in the natural world in front of you. So I just want to say this is the guy to go to for great health information. Today we're going to be talking about energy medicine. Dr. Mancola, what is energy medicine?
Well, Whole Health, the book that we've just completed and released, is really about a specific type of energy medicine, but it starts from the perspective of knowing that everything really is energy. And again, I always say it's not really about what we think we're looking at, it's more about what we've been taught or trained to see. If you grow up in the East in China, you're taught to see energy, or what they call qi. If you grow up in the West, you see matter, cells and material properties. So everything is energy. It's just that we have to kind of reacclimate ourselves to the possibilities, and we have to kind of understand what we're looking at. There was a noted researcher at the Max Planck Institute named Dr. Rutger Weaver, in 1963, actually measured the human energy field at 0.025 volts of electricity. It's an ambient charge of electricity, a direct current at 10 hertz per centimeter. So we know this because here in the West, we, of course, do EKGs and EEGs and MRIs, so we know that we're electromagnetic, but we just don't really apply it beyond those applications. So energy medicine, of course, things like Reiki, things like Qigong, things like Tai Chi, we're using energy, we're kind of manipulating it, working with it, enhancing it, balancing it, many different energetic disciplines that actually kind of endeavor to balance out the energy field of the human body, because if it's imbalanced, obviously disease will manifest. If it's in balance, we can actually heal more rapidly.
Oh, that's so interesting. So give us some examples of what you would tell somebody who has this, like give an example of a disease or an illness or something where they can apply energy medicine, and which one you'd recommend, the Qigong or the Tai Chi or some of the others.
Well, there's two different applications that we use in our book in Whole Health and in our practice of 32 years. And that's really what Whole Health is about, Lisa. It's really about the idea that we've helped so many thousands of people over the past 32 years. We've seen 60,000 appointments and been able to help so many people that we're sharing the whole process in the book and really trying to help people become more conscious, more aware of the fact that they actually can engage in many of the same exact exercises energetically that we have successfully here for years. Examples. We did some examples on the Dr. Oz show about 3 or 4 weeks ago. We actually showed that you can actually put pressure with your fingers, specific acupuncture points in the body, and actually test the muscle strength of the other arm. So I can raise up my left arm, Lisa, at about shoulder's height, and actually have you pinch some points, some acupuncture points on my hand that are insomnia points, anxiety points, and stress points. And if they're weak and my arm goes down when you're trying to push down on my arm, that means I need to work on those acupuncture points. Excuse me, and I can continue to put pressure on those points. It's called acupressure. And acupressure can actually stimulate those points. Let's say I'm having a hard time sleeping at night. There's a point right above the wrist, on the inside of the wrist. It's a pericardium point. It's called pericardium 7. So if I put pressure on that pericardium 7 point on my wrist, I can actually find myself getting back to sleep a lot easier. So it can be as
really?
Simple as curing your insomnia on the spot as you're lying in bed. You can simply say, I'm not going to lie here frustrated, unable to sleep. I'd much rather be proactive, so I'm going to put some pressure on this wrist and see if I can't help myself get right back to sleep. It's a simple way to get yourself in that bed and get yourself sleeping quickly at night.
Okay, I'm looking at my wrists. Are you talking about on the thumb side or the pinky side? Like, I want to do this. This sounds amazing.
So if you open up
where
your
would
hand,
you push?
Open palm, you're
okay.
Facing your open palm. It's
yes.
Right in the dead center between your thumb and your pinky in the upper part of your wrist. Right where your hand actually joins your arm. Dead center. And again, you can actually look this up on the internet. It's an acupuncture point called P PC is pericardium, PC number 7, pericardium number 7. It's a simple application of pressure on that point. And the more you do that, the more you're inclined to get a good night's sleep. Again, acupressure is like acupuncture, but you're just putting pressure onto your fingertips. So you put pressure on that upper wrist, inside, open palm, upper wrist. Put pressure on that point in pericardium 7, and you'll find yourself getting a much higher quality of sleep.
Let's talk a little bit about using this for food intolerance testing, what they call muscle testing, or energy medicine testing. Is that okay?
Well, we do some really in-depth muscle testing for food allergies. Of course, you know that. We have homeopathic vials that we use, et cetera. We get a kind of complex approach to it. But the simplest way to do this, you grab a loved one, you go to the grocery store, and you simply go to the produce center of the grocery store. And you can actually test each other for food intolerances or food allergies. If you raise your arm, again, shoulders height, just raise your arm straight up, keep your elbows straight, make a nice tight wrist, make a fist, and resist as the loved one tries to push your arm down, you can measure the strength of your arm. Now, generally, a good strong deltoid is going to hold that arm up nice and straight. Nobody's going to be able to push it down that easily, and that's a good sign. However, if you take some of the produce that we talked about, like tomatoes, onions, zucchini, or oranges, or whatever, one food at a time, you hold it up to your chest. You hold it right in front of your heart, and then you attempt to have that arm depressed by your loved one. Let your loved one that's testing your strength, work at pushing down the arm that's raised up at the wrist to see if they can push your arm down. If your arm is weak and if it's easy to push down, that means you're sensitive to that food energetically. You can go right down the entire produce list, all the different foods at the produce stand. And if you don't have the strength to maintain that arm strength, that means you should probably stay away from that food. And that's going to change. A lot of those test results are going to shift and change from one day to the next. So you can do this at home. You can do it at the store. You can actually pull cans or packages of food out of the pantry and actually, once again, test those at the level in front of the chest and see what the strength level is. If your strength is weak, obviously you shouldn't take that food because you're energetically sensitive to it.
Now, why does it change? You said it can change day to day.
Because energy is in the constant state of flux. Which means in the material world, things stay the same for long periods of time. We age, we change, but it takes longer. In terms of energy, energy is constantly moving rapidly. So in other words, if something you're sensitive to today, you may not be sensitive to in a two or three-day period. And there's reasons for that, as you point out. I mean, for example, if you use the same foods over and over, people make casseroles. And in these big casseroles they make on a Sunday afternoon, they're ready for the week ahead. They maybe can eat those casseroles for three or four nights in a row. Leftovers is like what we like to call them. Which can be really problematic with food, because if you continue to eat the same food over and over and over, you could actually become sensitive to that food for a short period of time. Your body wants change. It's accustomed to change. It's designed for change at the energetic level. So one of the most important things we always suggest is to rotate your foods. Eat something different on Monday than Tuesday, than Wednesday. Try to break it up. Try to change it up just a little bit, because your body really does look forward to change.
It's so interesting, Dr. Mercola, because for years I ate brown rice. Like, I don't know, twice a day or something. I mean, probably all through my 20s and 30s. And
yep.
Now when I eat brown rice, I get tired. Or I wake up the next morning, my head feels a little foggy. And it totally bums me out because it's not going away. I think I've
damaged myself.
I
talk about this in the book and I say, think about a stoplight. At the stoplight, you've got a red, a yellow, and a green light. And I always say foods okay. that you eat often that you get away with are your green light foods. There's foods that you have a greater tolerance for using ad nauseum. Then there's foods that you have to stay away from all the time because no matter what, you're going to be sensitive to those foods. Those are your red light foods. The really important clinchers here are the yellow light foods, the caution foods, the foods that you have to know how to rotate. So I say that if you eat a food like brown rice every single day and then you suddenly get a sick stomach from it or you feel tired or logy from it, it's likely that it's a yellow food, meaning that it's a rotational food that you can't eat every single day. We say those foods that are what we call rotational or yellow light foods or caution foods should be eaten no more than once a week, not more than once or maybe twice a week, and that's it.
Dr. Mercola, we've got to have you back. If you want to learn more, go to www.markmercola.com. I'm Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio. Thanks for listening and stay well.